For the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I waited patiently upon the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings, and hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. And what a wonderful privilege it is to be in God's house among God's people with God's word. And to join with the pastor and the youth pastor and the parents and all of you to congratulate our graduates. Now, graduates, you've reached a milestone. But could I remind you, the word commencement does not mean the end. It means the beginning. So you're just starting. Start out on the right foot. Go in the right direction. You'll end up in the right destiny. Well, I've used enough runway. What do you say? Let's get airborne. Open your Bible. By the way, did I tell you when we open the Bible opens the mind of God? Let's see what God's thinking about this morning in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter number 7. As you're finding your place in the 7th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, I should remind you again, as sure as night follows day and day follows night, God still lives and the Bible is right. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is as grass. All the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Aren't you glad it's settled right here in this wonderful book that we call the Bible, inspired, infallible, inerrant, impeccable, indestructible, powerful and precious and perfect and pure and pontifical and preserved for us in our own language in the King James Version. What a wonderful God. What a wonderful book. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful day. Now then, as your Bible is open at Matthew chapter 7, I'm going to read beginning at verse number 21 and down through verse number 27. And I'll read after we join together in prayer. Would you pray with me, please? Now, Father, with our Bibles opened, we know that you are ready to speak to us. May we be ready to hear what you have to say. May we understand afresh and anew. It's not what the psychologists have said, or the psychiatrist, or the economist, or the politicians. It's what Jesus said that really counts. It counts for time. It counts for eternity. Bless these graduates today. Bless their parents. Many have sacrificed for them to be where they are today, and may they never forget. And may we reckon with the fact all of us, graduate or not, young and old, man and wife, grandma and grandpa, children, young people, all of us, every one of us, be attentive to thy word and listen to what Jesus had to say. In his name I ask it with thanksgiving. Amen. Matthew chapter 7 at verse number 21. Now everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, not everyone. Now watch that very carefully. You know, a lot of people can talk a good religion. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, now here are the four of the saddest words in the Bible. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. I read a story about a man who stood before a judge charged with vagrancy. It seems he had been accused of being a sorry, good-for-nothing, sleazy, trifling, lazy bum. Just kidding, folks. Too shiftless to hold down a job. After reading the charges, the judge turned to the wife of the man and asked her, why would you live with such a sorry bum that won't even make a living? To which she answered, Your Honor, I makes the living, he makes the living worthwhile. I've entitled this message, Building a Life That Is Worthwhile. This is good whether you're a graduate or a grandpa. I have three principles that will help you make your life worthwhile. Are you ready? Principle number one. build your life on the proper foundation. Several years ago, a very beautiful and magnificent building was built in Charleston, West Virginia, at the cost of $10 million. It was considered one of the finest buildings in that area that had ever been built there. But not long after it was built, something very strange happened. One day, all the windows in the building popped out. Nobody could understand why. After extensive research, it was discovered that the building was built on a faulty foundation. I should tell you, my friends, that it doesn't matter how beautiful your life is. It doesn't matter how charming or charismatic you are, how educated or sophisticated or regulated or situated. It doesn't matter how cultured or refined. It doesn't matter how rich or prosperous. It doesn't matter how powerful or prominent. It doesn't matter how famous or fortunate you are or that one day you will be. If you do not build your life on the proper foundation, one day all the windows of your life will start popping out. Everybody knows that the Empire State Building rises 102 stories above the ground. But not everybody knows that it goes 5 stories below the ground and rests on a solid granite foundation. Now, laying a foundation is a slow process. Any kind of building. I remember watching the foundation of this building being laid, 1976. They came up with this big, heavy equipment. They went across, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then I thought they did something very stupid. They took a packer and packed it all down. And then they did something that was even more stupid. They plowed it up again. And then they packed it down again. And they plowed it up again. And on it went. Finally, they dug deep, wide holes at every few feet to pour concrete in to make sure the foundation would hold and stay in place. Finally, they put the steel across. And then the concrete trucks arrived, and they poured the concrete. Wow, I was so happy. After all these days, slow, tedious work. But when the concrete cured, they started laying the bricks. I just happened to be here when they laid the first brick. The foreman said to me, "Now, Pastor, would you like to lay some bricks?" Well, here I am, you know, brick lay on all. Can somebody get that from me? To get that, Pastor? Just lay it right up here. You're a good man. Thank you, sir. I told my wife she didn't pin it on tight enough. But I'll never forget. They began in what I believe is the south. Is that the southeast corner over there? You don't know. Johnson? Is that the southeast? All right, they laid the first brick. And the foreman said, "Now, Pastor, you lay." And I laid about a dozen bricks. So if they start popping out, you'll know what happened. No, the foundation was sure, steadfast, and the building still stands. You know, it takes a long time to build a foundation. You don't do it in a day, and so it is in your life. You do not build character overnight. A wise man once said, and I don't remember who it was, it may have been me, "Reputation is built in a moment. Character takes a lifetime." Some people build their lives on the foundation a prophet. Someone asked John D. Rockefeller, "Mr. Rockefeller, how much money does it take to make a man happy?" He said, "One more dollar." In Mark 8:36, the greatest authority the world has ever known speaks to that. In chapter 8 of Mark, verses 36 and 37, I'm going to quote Jesus. Now, I just love to quote Jesus. He asked a soul-searching question, and his heart went, "For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" By the way, if you could gain the whole world, you couldn't pay the taxes on it, so just sit back and be content with what you have. If he could gain the whole world and then lose his own soul, how much profit would he have? I warn you, it is dangerous to trust money. You see, the bulls of Wall Street eventually become the bears of the back street. The wise man speaks up in Proverbs 11:28. Here's what he said. He who trusts in riches shall fall. The word trust there means to throw oneself upon something for shelter and security. May I get personal? What are you throwing your life upon? Gold or God? You can't serve both. That's what Jesus said. I'm going to give you his word. I'm trusting that you'll believe it. And I am quoting Jesus again from Matthew 6:24. Now listen, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Let's hear again from the wise man Solomon, who, by the way, wrote 3,000 proverbs and 1,005 songs. Don't you think he's worthy of quoting? Listen to what he said in Proverbs 23 at verse 4. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. A man said one day to his friend, "You know, friend, that money talks." "Yes, I sure do, and all it ever says to me is, bye-bye." Is it wrong to have money? Absolutely not, but it's wrong for money to have you. You see, money makes a good servant, but a poor master. The most misquoted verse in the New Testament, and perhaps in all the Bible, is 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. So many people quote it like this: money is the root. No. That's not what it says. The love of money is the root of all evil. A second foundation upon which some people build their lives is pleasure. We're living in a pleasure-mad world. The world has gone mad after pleasure. And you know, it doesn't take too much to entertain people. If you don't believe it, just turn on the television any time of night and day. Doesn't take much. Pleasure mad. Paul addresses that in 2 Timothy chapter 3 at verse number 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, false, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded. Here it is. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. What do you love today? Let the wise man speak again. Proverbs 21 and verse 17. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. And then the Apostle Paul comes up and says in 1 Timothy 5:6, she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Now let me warn you, my friend, listen carefully. You may rise to stardom in Hollywood, but remember, Hollywood stars lose their glitter and end up in the gutter. You can drink the cup of pleasure to the last dregs and you will not be satisfied. Listen, only the cup of salvation will satisfy your never-dying soul. And I can promise you, there is nothing bitter or distasteful in the cup of salvation. The psalmist said in 34:8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." A third foundation upon which people build their lives is power. Profit, pleasure, power. There are a lot of power mongers in our world. If you don't believe it, look at the nation's capital. It's populated with them. They will lie, cheat, steal, maim, and sometimes murder for a position of power. They rise to the top rung of the political or corporate ladder only to come crashing down, and great is their fall. May I get personal again? What about your life? Are you building your life on the sands of profit or pleasure or power? I must warn you, ladies and gentlemen, the storms are coming. The only foundation that is solid, safe, secure, and steadfast is Jesus Christ. Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid. You need to understand that Jesus Christ can conquer every storm that comes into your life. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. All of the ground is sinking sand. I assure you, if you build your life on Jesus Christ, the rock of ages, you will find happiness in the hour of trouble. You will find comfort in the hour of sorrow. You'll find peace in the hour of peril. You'll find strength in the hour of weakness. And the capstone of it all, you will find assurance in the hour of death. When the sunshine of your life has gone out, when the shades of night have fallen all about you, when the perspiration of death is on your brow, when you're struggling to reach and make the last breath on earth, you can say with all assurance, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The second principle, be sure you make the right choice. You are a free moral agent. You can make your own choice. Joshua said in 24:15, choose ye this day, not tomorrow, not after you finish your next course, this day whom you will serve. Now watch this. As for me and my house, he said, we will serve the Lord. That's the kind of resolve we need from every father this morning. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19, please don't miss it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Choose life. You say, well, I'm just not going to make a choice today. Yes, you are. If you're here today without Jesus Christ and you don't choose him as your Savior and you leave this building, you have made a choice against him. You are going to make a choice. I'm bold enough to tell you that the choice you make today will determine the course that you will take tomorrow. And ultimately, don't miss it, ultimately it will determine your destiny. You can choose to live by the rules that are written in God's word and enjoy peace and happiness and joy and contentment. Or you can disobey God's laws and regret your behavior the rest of your life. Think this over. An undisciplined life is a weapon of self-destruction. And the Bible says there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And the Bible says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And the Bible says lust, when it is conceived, bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Oh, I don't like to think about people dying without Christ. I don't like to think about people dying at all, but to die without Christ, the wages of sin is death. Now, both of the men in my text made a choice. Observe with me the similarities between these two men. Number one, they both heard the same words from Jesus. Number two, they both were builders. Number three, they both built a house. Number four, they both encountered a storm. Now observe the differences. The wise man not only heard the word, but he heeded the word. So he built his house upon a rock. The foolish man heard the word, but did not heed it. I warn you, it is not enough to just hear the word of God. You must heed it. Jesus, Iago quoting Jesus already again, he said in verse 24, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Did you get that? He that heareth and doeth. The wise man built his house upon a rock and it withstood the storm because it was upon a rock. Can I tell you, build upon the rock and you'll never feel a shock. The foolish man lost it all because he built upon sand. Now, my friend, it's easy to see that we all have choices to make. Principle number three, you don't want to miss this. Be prepared for the cash register at the checkout stand. Now think that over for a moment. I sometimes go to the grocery store. I don't like to go to the grocery store. When I get through shopping, I get in line. I don't like to get in line. I notice that every item has a price tag on it. Then I noticed at the end of the line, there's a cash register. And the cashier adds it all up, and I pay the bill. I discover two things. Number one, they don't give me anything. I pay for everything I put in the shopping cart. Number two, they only charge me for what I buy. You know what? Life is a whole lot like a shopping experience. You have all kinds of choices that you can make in your life, but remember, at the end of your life, there is a cash register. And the divine cashier will add up everything in your life, and you will pay the bill. But wait, I've got good news for you. Jesus has already added up the bill for your sin. All the sins of your past, your present, your future. He paid your sin bill at Calvary, and the price was his own precious blood. In whom we have redemption through his blood. You who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he has saved us. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of goats and calves and the ashes of a heifer, sanctifying the unclean to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? For as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but by the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blot and without blemish. When I was growing up, we used to sing a song. The old timers really sang this. And old brother Lindsay's an old timer. I think I heard him sing this one time. I love the old songs that he sings. Don't you love our musical program? Amen. Honors Christ. Thank you, Brother Johnson. And choir, musicians. The rest of you folks out there ought to be in the choir. The old song went something like this. If I didn't have a sore throat, I'd sing it for you, but I'm just going to quote. There was a time on earth when in the books of heaven an old account was standing for sins yet unforgiven. My name was at the top and many things below. I went unto the keeper and settled it long ago. Long ago, down on my knees, I settled it all. And the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away when the old account was settled long ago. My friend, could I tell you something? You ought to listen to this. You can settle the account today. All you need to do is to let Jesus stamp on your sin bill three words: paid in full. Let's stand for our prayer. Heads are bowed. I wish I knew how to give an invitation. Altar's open. Invitation has already begun. You're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. A lot of things may be listed below your name, but I want to tell you, you can settle it today. There's some folks across the front here that'll show you from the Word how you can be saved. If you're here today, hear me now. You may be 40, you may be 80. It's never too late to get a transfer. You may have been building on the sands of profit or pleasure or power. And God has shown you today that you need to build your life fully, totally, completely, not just partially, but fully on Jesus Christ. Maybe you've just been dabbling around with some of these other things and building on the wrong foundation. Wouldn't you like to just come this morning and say, "Dear God, help me. I want to build on the right foundation in my life." I want you to do that without any pressure. Nobody's going to pull you down the aisle. But I invite you, whatever your need, whatever your burden, whatever your prayer burden, whatever your heartache, some disappointment this week, some bad news this week, some trouble has overtaken you. You need help. You need wisdom. You need guidance. You need counsel. You need prayer. You've been wanting to get God's attention all week. Well, the best place for you to get it is right here at the altar of prayer. I'm going to pray. Brother Johnson is going to lead us in our hymn of invitation. Father, I thank you today for the power of your word. Not the power of the preacher, but the power of thy word and the blood of Jesus Christ. We plead his blood to wash away all our sins in his name. While our heads are still bowed, we sing, we wait, the Holy Spirit speaks. Step out of your seat right now.